Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a little chart back there.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Fancy.
I made it myself. All right. So we're going to talk about Zazen today. And last time, Jocko talked about a phrase from the Fukan Zazengi, and the Fukan Zazengi is one of the first texts that Dogen wrote about how to sit Zazen. So Fukan Zazengi in English means the universal promotion of the principles of Zazen. It's kind of a mouthful. It's easier to say Fukan Zazengi than the English translation. We chant it on Tuesday mornings. Every other Tuesday morning we chant this. It's kind of long. That in and of itself is a practice. So one of the things that Jaku talked about is she talked about a phrase from the Fukan Zazengi, and I'm going to read the whole paragraph from which that phrase came about the dragon. You remember the dragon going to the water? Dogen wrote, "The Zazen I speak of is not learning meditation. It is simply the Dharma gate of repose and bliss. It is the practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. It is things as they are in suchness. No traps or snares can ever reach it. Once its heart is grasped, you are like the dragon when they reach the water, like the tiger when they enter the mountains. You must know that when you are doing Zazen, right there, the authentic Dharma is manifesting itself, striking aside dullness and distraction from the first." So that's the paragraph where the line about the dragon, and the line again on the dragon is, once its heart is grasped. So once the heart of Zazen is understood, you are like the dragon when they reach the water. So the first part of the sentence is about understanding what the heart of Zazen is. And I want to talk about that today. And the second part of the sentence is about the dragon reaching the water. So there's a connotation in that second part of the sentence. Once you have grasped it, you are like the dragon. So there's a sense in the sentence that you're not automatically able to reach the water, that there's something that we have to understand in order to be able to know about reaching the water. Now, the thing about Chinese dragons is, Chinese dragons are wise, they have a lot of equanimity, and they live in palaces under the water. So Western-style dragons like to hoard things. They like to present riddles to people. We like to slay dragons in the West, and dragons live in the mountains, right? So the notion of the ideas of dragons are really different in Western mythology versus Chinese mythology. So, you know, we, from a Chinese point of view, we want to be dragons. You know, we want to be wise and compassionate. I don't know about living in palaces under the water, because I can't breathe underwater. But that we embody those qualities. Also, a dragon has this sense of knowing where the water is, where its home is. And in Zen, we say our true nature, our Buddha nature. This is our true home, our true nature. And so in Zen, we say that we have this intrinsic understanding about what that is. Like that if given the opportunity, giving ourselves the opportunity, that we will find that true home, that we find that true self. That it is already within us, and it is life itself. So simultaneously, it's self and other simultaneously functioning together. And that is our true home. And that given the opportunity, as Dogen says, traps and snares will not hinder it. That they will not last for long. So how do we grasp the heart or understand the nature of Zazen? And there's many, many, many things that could be said about Zazen. But today I want to say what we do with our minds in Zazen. Because I think that that is kind of a conundrum. What are we doing when we're doing Zazen? So in Fukan Zazenge, Dogen offers what we should do with our body, right? And so our bodies, which I don't want to talk a lot about, but just to say that how we put our bodies is a kind of yoga. It's a kind of esoteric practice in a way, as is what we do with our minds. So we have a mudra. This is our mudra. And this mudra actually creates a flow of energy and connection in having this circular event going on in our bodies. We put our tongue on the roof of our mouth, and that actually closes up this little bone in your neck that also creates a kind of energy flow. We keep our spine straight so that we're also doing this. So there's a lot that's going on in this yoga of how we're sitting. Many of us can't sit cross-legged, so we sit in a chair, so we sit up straight. And if we can't sit in a chair, maybe we lie down, but we keep our spine straight. So there's this way in which we're creating this, again, to use the word yoga, we're creating this body event that's happening as part of our practice. But today I want to talk about what we're doing with our minds. So Dogen says, immediately before the part about the dragon, Dogen says, once you have adjusted yourself, so he's been talking about in Fukan Zazenge about what you do with your body, about the mudra and keeping your eyes open, keeping the tongue on the roof of your mouth, sitting in a certain way. So he says, once you adjust yourself, settle into a steady, unmoving sitting position. And then he says, think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? Non-thinking. There's the koan. How do you think of not thinking, non-thinking? And if you read that, you're probably going to go, you know, what is that? So there's actually specific instruction about what that means. This comes from a dialogue between the master Yakusan and a monk. And here's the dialogue. Once after master Yakusan was sitting Zazen, a monk asked him, when you were sitting, about what do you think? When you are sitting, what are you thinking about? And the master replied, I am thinking about non-thinking. The monk responded, how does one think about not thinking? And the master said, with think non-thinking. Okay, so what is that about? So that's what I'm going to talk about. So essentially, there are these three minds up here, three activities in this model that we're going to talk about. But before I start that, I want to say that what Zazen is not, okay? Zazen is not being in a trance state. Zazen is not concentrating on one thing so much that you are no longer aware of anything around you. So it's not this kind of, it's not taking you away from your present circumstances. It's not about counting your breaths. So it's not a concentration practice. It's not a mindfulness stress reduction. And all of these things may be great within the context, but today I'm talking about what Soto Zen or Chan understanding, Shaodong Chan understanding is of what we're doing in Zazen, Shikantaza, just sitting, what that actually is. Okay, so we have these three minds. The first one is Shiryu, and this is our normal thinking mind. So that's the first one up there. And that's often the mind that we engage in while we're sitting Zazen because kind of we can't help it, right? So Shiryu is where we have ideas, we're affirming or negating the objects of our thought, we're conceptualizing objects. Maybe Shiryu would include being caught in fantasies, you know, when we're sitting and we're off on a fantasy somewhere and on a beach in Florida, or we're thinking about, what we could have said to somebody but we didn't say to them, all those kinds of activities that we engage in. We are not trying to stop those kinds of, we're not trying to cut that off. The other thing, I'll just say in passing about this kind of thinking that I was thinking about or noticing when I was sitting Zazen yesterday, is that this state, this mental state, these states of ordinary thinking is what we often think of the self. It's like, you know, we're talking to ourself. We are defining the nature of our experience through the thoughts that we're having. And in Zazen, you might notice that they come and go. It's amazing. They're just coming and coming and going, and they're very impermanent. And you probably couldn't even remember the thoughts that you had at the beginning of the 40 minutes and what was happening at the end. It's like, and yet this is how we define the nature of who we are. And yet it's this constant stream of stuff that's going by, impermanence, this impermanent stream of thinking. We are impermanent. This is our teaching. So our thoughts and way are absolutely tell us that that's true. Absolutely tell us that the definition of self is that we are not some permanent, eternal event that never changes. Okay, so Fu Shiryo is this is the second one, which is when we think that Zazen practice is about cutting off our thoughts. I remember when I first started practicing not Zen, but kind of Eastern religions, you know, by reading Bihar now and books like that. And the meditation instruction was to cut off your thinking. They had all these techniques for how you could meditate in such a way that you had no thoughts at all. So that's not what we're doing. We're not trying to cut off thinking. We're not trying to cut off thoughts and have some kind of vast blankness of no thought, where that's the goal of it. That's where the student says when Yakuzan said, when you are sitting, so the student says, when you are sitting, what are you thinking about? So that would be Shiryu, right? He's asking the question, what are you thinking? Are you thinking I should sit up straight? Are you thinking I should be doing this? Or thinking, in other words, are you thinking through something in the process? And the master replies, I think about non-thinking. But what the student hears is I'm thinking about not thinking at all. Okay? So the student hears, he shiryu. The student hears, I'm cutting off my thoughts. And then the monk says, how do you do that? And then this teacher says, well, you do it by doing the third one, which is he shiryu, which is non-thinking. Is everybody with me here on this? Okay. So he shiryu is the state that we are actually trying to think non-thinking about. Okay? He shiryu, I think, is very difficult to come up with words to, you can describe it, but a phrase like non-thinking is a little, not exactly it. And Shoaku Okamura says beyond thinking. And I'm not sure that I think that's exactly it either. Mm. But ultimately, maybe it doesn't matter that we come up with something in English that's a kind of catchphrase for this, but that we understand what this is. So this is the mind of Zazen. And in some ways, this is an esoteric practice. So what's an esoteric practice? An esoteric practice, sometimes we think about it as some kind of secret initiation kind of thing. But actually, you can also think about it as a practice that in some ways cannot be intellectually defined. It's a practice that you have to do the practice. It's a practice for you to actually understand the practice. You have to put effort into doing the practice itself. So I can describe to you what this is what I'm going to describe the instruction for this is. But in order for us to actually enact and understand this practice, we have to do this practice. When we sit down in Zazen, we have to say, well, okay, this is what I'm going to make my best effort to do, is this particular practice. And of course that takes, well, it takes effort. And so it means that it's a little hard. It also means that in Zen we say, you know, no gaining idea. It's like we're not doing this practice to get something. Now, of course, there are things that happen by sitting Zazen that are efficacious. There are things that happen, like, for example, you may be a lot more patient after you sat Zazen for a while. You know, just the very act of sitting down for 40 minutes and not moving and just doing that discipline engenders a kind of patience, or it engenders a kind of equanimity. So all of those things, I mean, it's not as if something's not happening. But ultimately, on another level, we're not doing Zazen to get something from doing Zazen. We're doing Zazen just to do Zazen, because that, in our school, is the activity of a Buddha, is to sit Zazen. So at its essence, sitting Zazen is about presencing ourselves for our life in a way in which our life and ourselves come forward to meet each other and respond. So that's why we say Zazen is life. And how that is in formal Zazen, in doing in the Zendo, is this practice of Hishiryo. So Hishiryo is essentially a basic instruction. And this is how Shuhaku Okumura gives this instruction. He says, put the brain in neutral, like it's the gears of a car. I think that's kind of compelling. You know, he says, okay, so you've got the gears of a car like this, and they're doing their thing. So that would be our normal thinking mind, right? That's Shiryu. It's where we're thinking. He's saying, okay, engine's going, disengage the gears. So this disengagement is not stopping your thoughts. It's Hishiryu, this way in which we just are presently sitting, but not getting caught in the traps and snares of our thinking mind, even though thoughts are coming, right? So again, we're not trying to cut off our thoughts. Ujjama Roshi says, thoughts are like mind secretions. So it is the nature of the mind to create thoughts. It's the nature of the mind to hear something outside and say, oh, that's a car. Gee, it sounds like the car I owned in 19, you know, whenever it was. And I remember that. And then I was, you know, so that's that. So when we start doing that, that's Shiryu. That's like bang, gears just went back into gear again. And we're like going through this whole process. So the Hishiryu is like you say, okay, I'm going to disengage. When that happens, I'm going to disengage. That's what Suzuki Roshi says is don't invite your thoughts to tea. Thoughts are in the room. You know, and he says, don't say, come on in and sit down. Let's have a good thought. Let's have a good fantasy. Let's have a good remembrance or whatever it is. And that, you know, that's what we get caught in that all the time, right? You know, you sit down and sit Zazen and before you know it, there you are, you're asleep. There's a book called, can I remember the name of it? Do you remember Ujjama Roshi's book on Zazen? No. Yeah, when you think about it, just yell it out. Okay. So Ujjama Roshi has this book, and he has this wonderful little drawing, and it shows a straight line that would be Hishiryu, and then there's a line up here that shows a little guy with little thought things going out, so that's Shiryu, and then below it, he's sleeping, so there's a little thing with a Z's, you know. So this way, I think Z's, I don't know where they fit in this model, I think they would be Shiryu as well, this kind of normal waking mind and a sleep mind. So the idea is to come back to this place of not asleep, not caught in our thoughts, just coming back to this place. So when you come back to this place, it may be that the way you reside in this place is to hear sounds. The way you reside in this place, maybe you feel there's a Zazen instruction, put your mind in your hands, right? I understand that to mean something like you can feel the sensation of your hand in the mudra. But none of these things, you might be aware of your breath. Again, in Zazen, our breath is not special. You know, take a good couple deep breaths when we start out and rock back and forth and kind of get ourselves centered. But then we go back to normal breathing. So we're not doing some kind of kundalini, you know, yogic breath practice. And I don't mean to, I'm not disparaging of any of these kinds of practices because they're powerful practices. I'm just trying to tell you about what it is in Soto Zen that we are talking about when we're talking about Shikantaza. So this way in which we are completely present, relaxed in this upright posture, which fosters a kind of awake attention and presencing to our life. And so, in a way, that's what we're practicing in Zazen. This Zazen is this mind of without judgment. So this mind of completely presencing ourself for our life in an intelligent way where there's no judgment. So this is this think non-thinking aspect. Now, in our normal, you know, in Zazen, we have the luxury, if you will, of usually being in a generally quiet place, in a place that isn't too cold or too hot, in a place that we're not going to be probably distracted. People are going to come up and start talking to us about something we need to do at work, or whatever it is, right? We don't have our phones on. So we're clearing the space for us to do this formal practice of presencing ourselves for our life just as it is and kind of make an effort to do this practice of not being judgmental, do this practice of not getting caught in our thoughts, do this practice of staying awake, and that we start to develop those muscles. And yet simultaneously, there's also just this practice of doing the practice. And it's not for any of this stuff, but it's about that's what we do. And so we engage in this formal ritual, this esoteric practice of sitting Zazen, but essentially our life is an esoteric practice in the sense that our life is only what our life is. Our life is just our life. Our life is not this or that. We can call it this or that. We can describe it to ourselves. But essentially, the life we are living is the life we're living. And in some ways, there's not a lot we can say about it. It is our body and mind functioning within the context of reality. Are we functioning in the context of delusion? Are we functioning in the context of realization? Do we know what that function is? This way in which we are completely inhabiting our lives. Dogen says in Uji, there is no partial. We want to say, our mind says it's not enough. Our mind says it's partial. Our mind says this. But the reality is, just in this moment, it is only what it is in this moment. That's it. And we can't say what that is. Because we are just living it. So Zazen, formal Zazen, is that practice. Formal Zazen is the dragon returning to the water, because it is just this. What can you say about it? It's just reality. It's suchness. It's just returning to the water. Returning to our true home of being. Being presencing ourselves for our life, which includes the life of everything else as well, simultaneously. But we don't have to worry about that in Zazen. We just have to worry about this practice, making this effort. Because we won't experience this unless we make some effort to do it. So if we make the effort to, when our thoughts come, to gently not beat ourselves up. This is not a should practice. That's a problem. That's a trap and a snare. Suzuki Roshi said, be kind to the thinking mind in Zazen. He said, as if you are taking care of a friend or a child. So there you are. You're sitting in Zazen. Thoughts are coming. He says, be kind to that part of yourself. As if you are taking care of a friend or of children. Your thinking mind is like a child running around you. Oh, be careful, he says. Oh, be careful. When you practice this way, there is no you anymore. That is the secret of going beyond self-centered practice. So, and you know, this too is very ephemeral in a certain way, because to beat yourself up is a self-centered practice, right? This way of letting go of the ego of being wrong, letting go of the attachment of the self of being wrong. And if you can't do that, don't beat yourself up for not doing that. You know, this perpetual kind of domino thing that we like to engage in. We like to make up a story about what we should be doing or not doing. So this way in which we create a kind of equanimity with ourselves. We say, oh yeah, we are like children running around this true self, right? Around the true dragon. So this is the kind of soft mind, if you will, this kind of compassionate mind that we want to bring to this practice as we're working with these kinds of instructions, these kinds of guidelines about how we're going to be doing this practice. And then Suzuki Roshio said, he said about the actual practice, he said, you don't try to hear or see anything. But when something appears in your mind, leave it, accept it. So this is this way of not inviting your thoughts to tea. That's another kind of beauty of Zazen. You know, you're sitting in Zazen and you have this thought that just, you know, shoots energy through your body. If you were at home, you'd be like jumping up out of your chair. Or maybe it's some problem you want to solve and you'd be calling somebody on the phone or texting them or doing something. Or I've got to do something about this right now. But in Zazen, you can't do anything about it. You just have to sit there. And you know, amazingly, usually within a few minutes, you're off somewhere else. That's gone. It comes back, but you know, that's gone. So this way of the beauty of that is we are constantly reminded that we are in the midst of our lives, no matter what our life is doing in our minds. So this way that we, the other thing about this is, when we're able to do this practice, when we're able to practice Hishiriya, what happens for us is that we are no longer in a little bubble. When we're practicing where we're caught in our minds, we're in a little bubble, right? We're like sitting in this little bubble on our zabuton, and we're, you know, thinking. And in some ways, it's kind of fun, you know? Oh, I got 40 minutes of, you know? It's like, what can I do today? And on some level, we don't want to go Hishiriya. We don't want to go, like, let go of that. Just be present, like, be aware of everything else that's going on. We don't want to be outside our little bubble. It's like, oh, this bubble feels good. And when it doesn't feel good, sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's like, man, I really don't want to be in this bubble. And you know, that's when we often don't want to go to Zazen. Oh, I want to stay in bed. Oh, I don't want to be in that other bubble. I don't want to be over there at Ocean Gate with those people. I don't want to sit Zazen. I want to stay in bed. I've got something else to do. I want to work. That's what I want to do. I want to get up in the morning, read the paper, and go to work. You know, it's like, so there's this way in which it says, no, you have to come back. You have to come to this place. You have to be like the dragon returning to the palace. He's like, oh, well, it doesn't feel like a dragon returning to the palace to me. And this is our faith. Really, seriously, this is our faith in the practice. Is our faith that we keep doing this activity. Dogen says this is the dignified behavior of a Buddha. I don't feel like a Buddha. Dogen says, when you sit Zazen, you are Buddha. I don't feel like Buddha. When you sit Zazen, you actually are creating no karma in the context of Hishiriya. Oh, I don't know how that works. You don't have to know how it works. This way in which we just sit. We just come. That's what just sit means. Just sit. So Hishiriya is this coming back to your life. Again, Suzuki Roshi, you don't try to hear or see anything, but when something appears in your mind, leave it, accept it. Oh, that's all. That's what you say to yourself. He says, oh, that's all. No second activity appears in your zazen. Maybe you go on in your mind, what is that sound? That is the second activity. You don't make any judgments. You don't figure out what it is. You just go back to this state of totally present yourself in your life on the cushion. And by the way, you can just let that take care of itself. So our effort really is just, okay, I'm caught in a thought. It's okay. Back to present moment. Okay, I'm asleep. It's okay. Back to the present moment. That's it. And so we just keep doing that. And we see what happens. I can tell you things about zazen, but I'm really reluctant to do that because the essential practice of this is just showing up and presencing yourself for your life. That's what we're doing. And making this particular effort when we're sitting formal zazen. But actually, that's the effort that we're making in the rest of our lives in practice. To show up, be present, not rush to judgment, not get caught in our thinking, be generous about the way we perceive the nature of our understanding of what's happening around us, which is our compassion. And where does that compassion come from? It comes from a kind of empathy and understanding that we are all in this together and that we all have intrinsic value and that we all can be curious about that. It's a really simple practice. It's a really simple practice. And yet, it's really tough to find that palace under the water. You know? So the practice of zazen, doing this practice, you know, is really about learning about the rest of our lives. It's not different from, and that's why we say zazen is life. Thank you very much.